listening to Fakeologist Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat. Hi, everybody. It's April 13th, 2015. You're listening to Aberrato on Fakeologist Audio Chat. Today, I'm going to go through a couple of posts from fakeologist.com. The audio chat's been pretty quiet lately. That happens when people have other things to do and the weather improves. I understand that. So this is going to be a bit of an audio digest on fakeologist.com for those that haven't been able to get to the site or they let the site scroll. I know a lot of people in research don't go and click on older posts. They just go to the front page and that's where they stay. People are busy. They have many choices in their website Fakeology browsing, and I appreciate you choosing fakeologist.com to do your browsing. As the airliner Southwest would say, we know you have many choices for your airline, so thank you for choosing Southwest. So maybe I'll have to create a jingle or a slogan for that. Listening to a lot of podcasts lately, and I always like finding new podcasts. And how do I find new podcasts? Well, it's not easy, but one method that I've used is I'll search for guests and see where else they've been, or guests that I would like on the broadcast. I'll search and seek them out and see where they've been talking and try and listen in on other podcasts. Now, we've been talking about the Flat Earth for a while, and the person that brought that to everyone's attention is Mark Sargent. And Mark Sargent is pretty tech savvy in the sense that he knows how to promote himself and promote where he's been, which I don't think is too difficult, but I wish more people would do it and make it easier for the rest of us to find them and their interviews. I've tried to make it as easy as possible on fakeologist.com, and even as easy as I think I've made it, it's probably not easy enough. But Mark, what he's doing is he's putting all his interviews on his YouTube channel. I still think YouTube is the easiest, most popular platform on the internet, sadly. And people grouse and complain that, well, YouTube is censoring, or YouTube's doing this to me, YouTube's doing that to me. Well, that's fine. It's your own platform then. There's plenty that you can pay for and aren't necessarily censored. So stop bellyaching about YouTube. Now, people bellyache because YouTube is the biggest place to go on the internet. And some people, newer people, they just think YouTube is synonymous with internet. They don't realize that YouTube is just a website that got so popular and convenient because it was fast and comprehensive that Google went out and bought them. They just buy the industry leaders in whatever portion of the internet they want. But there's a vast internet that's a blank canvas that is waiting for you to fill your little corner of. So get your own website. There's lots of turnkey sites. There's lots of do-it-yourself sites. Get your own site like I did. It's not that hard. It costs a little bit of money, a few cups of coffee a month. And who here couldn't stand to cut out a couple cups of coffee a month? Just about everyone listening. Get your own corner. But anyway, I digress as usual because I have so much to say about so many things. I have always said my knowledge is an inch deep and 100 miles wide. I don't know. I know a little bit about a lot, but not too much in depth about it, just about anything. Sad to say, but hey, sometimes it's better not to specialize. So Mark creates, I gotta stop saying so. There's a bunch of buzzwords that people are saying these days and I'm trying to clip myself. Mark has a YouTube channel, Mark Sargent. He places all his audios on his site. And when he does that, I go to, or he usually puts links to the podcaster where he is being interviewed at. And then I'll drill down and see what type of stuff they're into. Because if anyone's willing to talk about the flat earth, either that means they're really with it or really out there, mostly out there. But that doesn't matter. We can still listen to these podcasts because there's no one going to have the same view as me. Now, most of the people here have similar views, but I don't expect anyone here that listens to me to have the exact same viewpoint. But we have enough overlap where we decide that we can talk to each other in a meaningful way. A lot of these podcasts talk about really far out, spacey things that I have no real interest in. But if you're bored and or open-minded to listening to far out and spacey things, then sometimes it's interesting. But that's just a way, again, of finding new podcasts. Now, I'm going to go to the first post. Today is April 13th, 2015. So the last podcast I listened to was called Positive Hell Roundtable. And this was done a couple months ago. I'm not always up to date, of course, with all the podcasts that I have. I have quite a few that come into my Android device. I use a program called BeyondPod.com. It's about $5 for the pro version, which is, again, nothing in the great scheme of cost. I suggest you get it, and that gives you automatic podcatching every night. It downloads all your favorite podcasts and updates your feed. Positive Hell Roundtable is on a podcast called, what's it called? It's called The Infectious Myth. The Infectious Myth. And that's done by a guy whose name slips by me right now. And this was a pretty interesting podcast. Now, people say, what does AIDS have to do with fakeology? Well, this is the thing when you're looking into media fakery. It makes there's so many connections to other areas of society that can make use of media fakery. So they're all related in that way. So if we're looking at everything through media fakery, it makes things all so much more interesting to investigate, especially things that are not properly explained by your mainstream media. And one of them has been AIDS. And AIDS fits the fakery profile perfectly. Because there are a million contradictions that go on every day with the disease. It kills people. It doesn't kill people. The cocktail works. It doesn't. The test is real. It's not. HIV causes AIDS. It doesn't. People get sick and die quickly. People live with it for a long life. People take the drugs. People don't take the drugs. Everywhere there's a contradiction, which to me means that there's probably some element of hoaxery or fakery going on. And that's why I'm fascinated by it, because this is a real phenomenon, and that's all I want to call it, a phenomenon. It costs a ton of money, you directly or indirectly, and it causes a state of fear amongst a great number of people of the world. And also, there are real laws being written about what is, in my estimation, a fake disease. It's not a real disease. It's a syndrome that has been explained by a transmissible virus, both of which I think are not real concepts. They've labeled it as such to create or make use of very expensive, poisonous drugs that are real, and they create laws to control and quarantine people, and I think there are some very real cases. I haven't met any, but many have been documented by a new documentary called Positive Hell. But I believe the woman's name is Joan Shenton, and she's been looking into this a long time. She seems real. I always have to preface that with these people. They seem real. So she has a documentary out, and I haven't been able to watch it yet because it costs money. And I'm hoping, because I can be cheap, to get a free copy of it to review and then have her on. But if I don't get a hold of her, I'm probably going to rent it anyway, or download it, as it were. I think it's cheaper to download, to rent it or stream it than it is to download, because they figure once you download it, you're going to pass it around. But so it's called Positive Hell. And on this round table, on this podcast that I've linked here, they have some pretty well-known alternative media type people out there. Or shall I say people not on mainstream media that have made use of the internet to disseminate their message. One is Celia Farber. And one is Joan Shenton. One is some pastor from San Francisco who's been working with people that are labeled AIDS patients for the last 20, 30, 40 years. It was very, very interesting. The audio is very poorly done on it, as I find many of these podcasts. People, go mic yourself up. Speak right into the mic. When people are trying to listen, they don't want to be straining to hear what's being said. It's already hard enough to understand this information without not being able to hear. But I would say this is a good podcast. You should subscribe to it. And this particular episode is worth listening to from a fakeologist perspective. And these people dance around the media fakery issues. See, these people aren't aware of the deception. They know that the media is keeping their message out. They don't know why. They don't probably understand media fakery. And therefore, it makes their point of view very confusing. They're very confused by why. They boil it down to money and indifference, which is a component of it. But they need to realize the tools by which they're being controlled and by which their message is not getting out there. If I could get through to any of these people and teach them about media fakery, it would help them understand that this was a created disease, an invented disease that was basically made marketable. I think they made a syndrome, which is probably really caused by abusing your body with illegal drugs and some kind of communicable bacteria or whatever occurs when you share needles with your body. And they've basically weaponized a syndrome and made it into a communicable disease so they can use it for fear and money. And that's the best way I can describe AIDS, HIV AIDS right now. They created a couple of acronyms, HIV and AIDS, things that are easy to say in every language. This is marketing 101. They basically figured out, and this is who's they, corporations and the military and intelligence. That trilogy, that triad of people get together and they are who control our society. There's no doubt in my mind. So the intelligence has the brain power to marry the fear and figure out the money angle. The corporations are the ones that supply the product and take in the money. And it's quite a system that they all work together. The intelligence and corporations. And I guess key elements of the government. The government as a whole is just a massive bureaucracy. So there are key players in all the powers, all the nexus points, the key points of control in the government. But when we say the government, we don't mean an entire building full of people working against you. That's not possible. The government works similar to the military. You only need a few key places, key pinch points in government to make things happen. And of course, I forgot the media. But the media is critical. They are critical to filtering out, letting out only the information they want out. And they're critical. They're a critical component to keep the unwanted information, the dissenters, out. That's so critical. But that is how you market a virus, a communicable virus. And again, I have questions about the whole concept of virus and virology. That whole science to me is questionable. I'm not convinced that anyone has been able to show any viruses of the last 60, 70 years where they're taking some kind of syndrome, whether it be malnutrition or chemical poisoning, toxicological poisoning, and calling it a virus that you can spread. The only thing that spreads these syndromes are widespread use of pesticides and widespread consumption of non-nutritious or nutrition deficient foods. That I believe in. I believe in malnutrition and I believe in toxins that harm the body's ability to ward off disease, whether it be created by bacteria or other things that somehow affect cellular reproduction. And I just don't believe in viruses. I don't believe that anyone's taken a picture of them. I think everything is a artistic's rendering, whether the artist be someone who paints or someone who is an alleged electron micrographer or somebody who allegedly takes pictures through an electron microscope. these people create the plots behind the story. This is how my mind works. I find a podcast and I could go on and on, but AIDS is a very fascinating topic to me. It's been with my generation most of our lives, and it has definitely affected my generation very, very negatively. I suggest that, to you that you listen to this podcast and you subscribe to it. The guy's quite interesting. And this is a particularly good episode with just about all the key players that are crying foul with regards to this AIDS deception. Really good. And I did interview someone, Ann Sonal, a couple weeks back, who has a movie that you should listen to and look at. It's on YouTube. It's in my past episodes. I believe it's episode 140. Take a look and read up on that. Listen to it, and if you're interested, try and apply your fakeologist brain to that particular movie. All right, let's get back to fakeologist.com. You're listening to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is live streaming at s3.fakeologist.com. You ever want to look at the archives? Go to archives.fakeologist.com. Actually, I'll get that right. Radioarchives.fakeologist.com. If you want to go to the audio chat archives, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com and look down, go down the list on the page. You'll see a link to the archives. Everything you can find, everything you want to know and find is on fakeologist.com. Okay, I did a little bit of programming. I programmed myself this weekend. I looked at two movies, or one movie anyway. It's called Moon and Dog. Moon and Dog is the post on fakeologist.com. The first movie that I watched was called Moon Over Parador. Now, this is a pretty good movie. This was referenced by a guy named Max Ratt. If you've been following chronologically the posts at fakeologist.com, you'll know that Max Ratt, obviously a pseudonym of some sort, he does a pretty good podcast, a very good podcast, actually. It's sort of the podcast I want to do in the future, and that is, he plays clips. He gathers clips, millions of clips. I think he said he spends 100 hours in clips, creates 100 hours in clips just to make a 2 or 3 hour show. So it's a ton of work. Anyway, one of the shows that he was talking about, he did a show on North Korea. And this was, I think, over a year ago when North Korea was being promoted by the military media. And what he did was he was basically taking clips from two movies especially. One is Moon Over Parador, which is the story of a fictional country in South America. I believe the movie was shot in Brasilia, which is a very big country, the biggest country, I believe, in South America. It's the highest number of Portuguese anywhere in the world. A very up-and-coming, I would call it second world, but it will be first world probably very shortly. An up-and-coming country. Home of the Amazon, or a lot of the Amazon rainforest. Anyway, so the film is shot there. It's about a fictional country called Parador, which it appears is some kind of contraction of Panama and Ecuador. So Parador, obviously it's not real. The story about that country where it's fictional, where it's dictator, and that's probably the main thing Americans, North Americans think about South America and Central America. It's just a series of countries that are run by dictatorships, similar to ours, except we have the illusion of electing our dictators, but they have similar powers, similar absolute powers. Anyway, so what happened is an actor is filming a movie down in this fictional country, and he gets to meet the dictator, and he mimics the dictator as a joke, which, of course, is the greatest form of flattery, to mimic somebody. And a day or two later, apparently the dictator dies. So the right-hand man who runs the country comes to this actor and said, "I thought you did a great job mimicking the dictator. How would you like to play him for a few days while we try and stabilize the country?" And that is the thesis of the movie. So this guy is literally playing the role of a lifetime. And the thing that's interesting about the movie, from a fakeologist's point of view, is they have to figure out, they ask questions like, what happens if somebody catches on? And the answer, of course, is, okay, well, what if someone catches on? What are they going to do about it? Who are they going to tell? So it's very illustrative of the issues that fakeologists come across regarding 9/11. You figure, well, okay, you figured it out. What use is it? Who are you going to tell? And, of course, we tell each other, well, doesn't do a lot of good because we already know. So it's very instructive in that way, and the movie goes on and carries on, and it's a typical, stereotypical, whether it's true or not, story about how the CIA runs the country. And I believe, I might have dozed off for a minute, but I believe they simulate a terror act in this country to make a change in the security laws of the country. But the movie is, I'm not a big fan of Richard Dreyfuss, but I was enthralled with Raul Julia, who is the right-hand man of the country, who runs the country, as I said earlier, and I thought his performance was great. I never really followed his work in acting before, but now I'm going to look up a few of his movies, because I thought he is a terrific actor, and he just was really creepy and really played his role as I would expect it to be played, very accurately. This was just a really fun little movie. It must have gone right under the radar, because I never had heard about it before. Now I'm going to take a look and see what kind of money it raised, because I never heard about it. It was from 1988. It's already pretty old. But it's fun watching movies with a fakeologist point of view. It really is. It's really fantastic, I think. Now I'm going to IMDb for my movie information. And IMDb, you can't even log in normally. They always make you pass a CAPTCHA, which is very annoying. If you're listening live to the audio chat now and you hear dead air, that's because I'm doing something. If you're listening to the file, the playback, the recording, you won't hear the dead air. I see it was nominated for 2 Golden Globes. I see the director died in 2014. Jonathan Winter died in 2013. These are some people that were in or produced the movie. Okay, here we go. Well, I guess it lost movie, because it said here the budget was $20 million, and you'll love the number. The official gross was $11,444,000, all occultic numbers, and 204, which are not occultic. There you go. And it looks like it was filmed over a 2-month period in Brazil. And it had Sofia Braga in the movie as well. Interesting character, interesting woman. Good looking for sure, if you like that kind of look. The other thing, Max Ratt, who did the podcast on North Korea reference, the other movie was called Wag the Dog. I'm going to watch that movie again. That's another great movie. That is a movie starring Dustin Hoffman and Robert De Niro. Oddly enough, those two guys were referenced in Moon Over Parador, strangely enough. It's interesting how they cross-reference each other, even though Wag the Dog was 1997, 8 years later. But I've described this movie before. It's a must-watch as a fakeologist. It's about simulating a war to distract the public from various domestic issues. Really well done. Max grabs a ton of clips from the movie to play on his clip show, and that link will be under Bamboozle North Korea if you want to take a look at my website, or just Google Max Pratt, or I believe it's maxpratt.com, and go through his archives. They're listed there, and look up his North Korea show. I'm going through all of Max's shows right now. I recommend you do as well. They're really, really well done. And although he may not be totally on board with all that I view as a fakeologist, he still gets the general idea. So definitely still worth watching and listening to. I'll make a quick comment about a comment that An Ounce of Salt put into the anonymous chat, which is anonfakeologist.chattango.com. It's a story about how Australia's government is proposing, I believe, or trying to ram a law through that states if you don't vaccinate your child, you will be ineligible for government child benefits. and it says they amount to $15,000 per child over the life of the child, which is probably pretty in line with Canada. Now, that's if you're a conscientious objector, i.e. someone who just thinks it's wrong to vaccinate. Now, it said in the article, if you're a religious objector, then you have to go through some more hoops to prove, I suppose, that you are really in that religion and you really are serious about the religious implications. I don't see why you have to be in an organized religion to get more of a more credibility to your beliefs, but that just shows the power of the church, I suppose. So I suppose the government can't just drive over church beliefs in Australia. And then, of course, the statistics in the article also state that, oh, it's not that big of a deal because 97% of all Australian children are vaccinated. But the government wants to nip it in the bud, so to speak, because they're saying a growing number, 3% or 39,000 children are not vaccinated. But if it's only 3%, my money is, if this is a true story, which sadly I think it might be, came out yesterday, is that I bet you the numbers are way higher. I bet you there are far more children that are not vaccinated. But why could that be? Is it because people have alternative information at their fingertips and those that disagree, that are trying to break through the medical stranglehold of and the authorities, media stranglehold pushing a medical agenda, vaccination is cracking now? There are fissures thanks to the internet and thanks to the ability for people of like mind to gather and coalesce, ironically mostly through Facebook, I'll bet. I think the answer is yes. So now it is going to be a law starting next year in Australia. And that's pretty shocking. That to me is medical terrorism, whether you believe it or not. And if that doesn't work, you can bet the children will be banned from school next, which would be a favor to them, but wouldn't help poor parents or even middle class have to go get their own education. And of course, if that doesn't work, then you can just see jail time or more likely just removal of children from their parents, which, as I've described before, has happened with children of parents or mothers, especially, that are allegedly have AIDS or the HIV antivirus. Next post I want to discuss is called Profound Question on the NASA Moon Hoax. Well, this is yet another podcast called Canary Cry, I think, .com, CanaryCryRadio.com. Seems like two guys with very good microphones, very good audio quality, and interesting banter between the two of them. They are more of the alien / science fiction type podcast, but they had Mark Sargent on, which is how I found them. And I went through some of their archives and am just listening more as a casual listener. I'm not too serious about a lot of their topics, but again, in every podcast, with every guest, there's always something interesting that's said, whether you believe it or not. And Bart Sabrell did what I think are two of the best moon hoax exposing videos out there. And he's at BartSabrell.com. And he comes at it, and we can only take his persona at face value. Whether he's controlled or not, I don't really know. Now, his website is BartSabrell.com, I think. Oh, it's Sabrell.com. All right, so he did two videos that I really enjoyed. One is called, let me look it up here. Looking at his website, Sabrell.com, apparently he's bald. In his movie, which I guess is quite a few years ago, he had hair. So a funny thing happened on the way to the moon, is the movie that I saw and I really enjoyed. And that's where he says he doesn't believe anything NASA says. But then he says he had to contradict that, and maybe one day we'll get him on the broadcast and ask him about it. He says, well, someone from NASA leaked a classified document that shows that the that the orbit or the footage shot was still, they were still orbiting, but they were holding up a cardboard cutout blocking the window to pretend they were almost at the moon. In other words, he said they still went up, but they faked the footage from low Earth altitude. And, of course, I believe all the footage was shot in Hollywood studio. There's no way that this space vehicle got anywhere too far above the atmosphere, and I doubt anybody was in it. Why risk it? Why bother? But still, he did that video, and what else did he do here? Funny thing happened on the way to the moon, and it looks like there's a 2.0 version of that show. I don't know what he's changed. Oh, the other one is Astronauts Gone Wild. And strangely enough, I can't see them on his website, which is strange. So it's not on his website, but it's on someone else's website. Strange. It's on a website by Auxmong, A-U-X-M-O-N-G, Auxmong. So don't ask me why he doesn't have it on his site. That's strange, worthy of a question. But the thing I liked about Astronauts Gone Wild, basically the premise of the movie was he went up as a Christian, holding a Bible, and he wanted astronauts to swear on the Bible that they went to the moon. And only two of them would swear on the Bible that they went to the moon. And those two were admitted atheists. In other words, they weren't concerned about any religious consequences for swearing on the Bible. The rest got really angry. A few got violent. And it was the reactions of the astronauts, astronauts, was fantastic. I just loved it. And they didn't have to say anything. Just the look on their faces was enough to convince me, added to the myriad of other information about illustrating the hoax aspect, that these people are lying. And this is why I don't believe in the pictures that are portrayed of the Earth being a ball. Now, I don't have any idea now, of course, what the shape of the Earth is, thanks to that deception, but there's one thing I am certain of, is NASA lies. NASA standing for Never a Straight Answer, or many funny other alternate definitions of the acronym. So we should start a list of what NASA stands for. I've heard Never a Straight Answer. Here's another website that says Need Another 7 Astronauts. Okay, that's two of them. Let's start a list. I think I'll start a post on that. Get everyone else's input. This is called Posting on the Fly on the audio chat. Of course, if you want to contribute, okay, I just placed the post. What does NASA stand for? I'll put the same question in the chat at chat.fakeologist.com. People can contribute there if they don't want to log in to the website. So quickly getting back to the post of fakeologist.com, and that is the interview with Canary Cry Radio and Bart Sabrell. At the 16-minute mark of the episode, I thought that Bart Sabrell said something really very, very, very good. Now, you don't have to agree with most or anything else he says. The Planet X stuff, I never really even heard of. I'm going to look into it just for a laugh, but I doubt that'll go very far. But basically what he said was, let me see if I can drag it up here. Let me see if I can play it, actually. Better to play it. Give me a minute here.
I'm Zach Hubbard with freetofindtruth.blogspot.com, and you're listening to Fakeologist Radio.